Three servants are given a gift according to their ability and, as it transpires, a responsibility. The master returns from his journey and calls each of the servants to account for his use of the gift. Two have been actively engaged and are rewarded. The third servant has done nothing, unless burying it in the ground and leaving it can be called caring. His reasoning being that it is not the requirements of his master, but the beliefs of the servant that are paramount. And in so doing, is punished. However you understand the early chapters of Genesis, the delight of God in what has been made is evidence. He looks at the world and proclaims it not just good, but very good, and gives us dominion over it, a responsibility to take decisions and to use the earth for our benefit. At the start of the Genesis reading, we are created in the image of God. So if God loves something, then being in his image, so must we. And that must ultimately mean caring for it. We are encouraged to take responsibility, to subdue and use. But nowhere does it say destroy the earth. As we are reminded in the Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. As with the servants, we have been given a gift and a responsibility to God for the state of our world. Recent headlines. Some bird migrants are now arriving nearly 3 weeks earlier than 40 years ago, while others, sticking to their original arrival date, such as the cuckoo, are finding they are too late to breed, with many host nests too far advanced for them to successfully lay their eggs. In the last 40 years, we have lost over 52% of the world's wildlife. In Scotland, rare mountain plants are either already disappearing or migrating up the mountains. In Alaska, a village has voted to relocate because of rising sea levels at an initial estimate of $180 million. In Bangladesh, they can't afford to do so. And why is all this happening? Pollution, habitat destruction, human population growth, overfishing, resources overexploited, and overconsumption are all major environmental problems for us to tackle. And overarching everything is climate change, with the Earth's atmosphere heating up at an unprecedented rate. So are environmental issues something new? The prophet Hosea. There is no faithfulness or loyalty and no knowledge of God in the land. Therefore, the land mourns and all who live in it languish, together with the wild animals and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea are perishing. What's different today? Retired ministers talk about how, at the start of their ministry, care of the poor was not part of mainstream Christian living, being practiced by those who felt called to engage with it. Today, that seems unthinkable. Tear Fund, CAFOD, Christian Aid are engaging Christians in caring for the world's poor, while back in the UK, many soup kitchens and food banks are run by Christians. Many poor are dependent on their environment. In the film clip, you saw something of the work in Kenya, where Arusha is working in the Arubuku Sokoke Forest, one of the last remaining coastal rainforests in Africa. Primary education is provided by the government. Secondary education is paid for by the families, if they can afford it. People living in the forest are poor. The only way to escape further poverty is to get a secondary education for their children. To raise funds, they destroy their environment to sell the assets contained within. As Stella Simiyu put it in the film, the rural poor depend directly on the natural resource base. This is where their pharmacy is. This is where the supermarket is. This is where the do-it-yourself store is. This is, in fact, their fuel station, their power company, their water company. What would happen to you if any of these things were removed from your local neighbourhood? To counter this, Arusha is promoting ecotourism as part of a solution. Visitors and others being encouraged to support educational bursaries to give children a secondary education, with over 300 children so far supported. Local people service the industry, and education initiatives help the people recognise the value of where they live and to live sustainably. Good scientific work is also carried out to both prove the uniqueness and value of the area and to enable Arusha to engage with the government to protect it. In more affluent countries, that link between poverty and the environment seems to be absent, with social security providing a buffer. But working as a policeman in central London, I saw the down and outs who had fallen through the system, sleeping rough in scavenged cardboard boxes, going through the bins for discarded food, dependent on their environment for survival. The phrase, nature deficit disorder, has been coined to describe a condition where human beings, especially children, are spending less time outdoors, resulting in a wide range of behavioural problems. We hear stories of children being unaware that milk originates from cows, while the other week a survey revealed that over 7% of American adults thought chocolate milk came from brown cows. That's why Arusha's first UK nature reserve is in the concrete jungle of Southall in West London, at Wolf Fields, included in which is a sensory garden, pond, nest boxes, an orchard, and a community allotment, all after removing 54 tons of rubbish. We seek to help the urban population reconnect with the healing environment. We recently opened another reserve, this time in the countryside on the Essex-Suffolk border, specialising in dragonflies, where people will also be able to take retreats and marvel at the wonders of God's world. You may have seen it the other week, featured on Countryfile. Many global charities, both relief and environmental, now recognise the need to be holistic in their outlook. You cannot deal with one issue without engaging with the whole web within which it is found. In India, Arusha is working to reduce conflict between crop raiding elephants and local villagers, while in Thailand, the environmental charity, the Zoological Society of London, is doing the same. The second mark of mission asks us to respond to human need by loving service. For many in need, that means caring for the environment that supports them. In other words, strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth, the fifth mark of mission. Many believe that within the immediate future, a major conflict will erupt over the use of environmental resources. A few years ago, Ethiopia announced plans to investigate the damming of the Nile to provide water for an expanding population. Egypt's immediate response was to state that they would go to war to prevent it. By caring for the environment, can't we help to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, to pursue peace and reconciliation? The fourth mark of mission. Many people fear that the world is currently heading for catastrophe. At the end of 2007, the Environment Agency asked 25 leading environmentalists for their top 50 tips to save the world. Number two on the list. It's time the world's faith groups reminded us that we have a duty to restore and maintain the ecological balance of the planet. All the world's major religions have a theology which includes care for the environment. If the secular scientists recognise this, why don't we? I've already mentioned Hosea, but others echo this, such as Isaiah. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. There is a recognition that our abuse of God's world is a sin. But what can Christians offer into the wellstream of despair? The answer is hope. With the forgiveness of human sin, a new relationship is created. John's well-known verses, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Too often, we think the world referred to is the human world, but the original text makes plain it is the entire world. With the forgiveness of human sin, the world can be restored. In this country, in January 2016, a Russia launched the Eco Church Award Scheme, seeking to engage churches in caring for God's creation. It is a simple online audit that allows churches to explore their environmental credentials in worship and teaching, management of church buildings and land, community and global engagement and lifestyle. The importance of churches engaging with the environment is underscored by the sponsorship of the scheme by Christian Aid, Tear Fund, the Church of England and the Methodist Church. Over 600 churches have so far registered for the scheme, with St Paul's Cathedral being the first recipient of the award. So should we all rush out and start hugging trees? Nah, don't bother, leave that down to me. But the body of Christ is made up of many parts, each contributing their own strength to the whole. But we can all contribute something. As individuals, do we recycle because the local council tells us to? Or take a reusable bag when shopping to avoid spending 5p? Or because, in these cases, we care for God's world? Like turning the thermostat down by 1 degree and putting on a jumper, by themselves, they seem very minor. But multiply that by millions of people doing likewise, and we can change the world. Too often, people see the fifth mark of mission as an add-on, a sop to the environmental lobby, when it is a part of the whole. It underpins the value of our response to human need, transforming unjust structures, challenging violence of every kind. And when society is forced to recognize the relevance of Christianity in today's society, then proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, teaching, baptizing, and nurturing new believers will follow. Simply put, if we destroy the soapbox, how can we proclaim the good news? If you'd like to find out more about Arusha, please take one of these leaflets at the end. And if you have any questions or would like to talk to either myself or my wife Elaine, who's at the back, then feel free to do so. And if you would like to receive our e-news, we will have a form with us to do so. Thank you for listening.